Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and as we get closer to Easter, I've been thinking a lot about what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, around 6,000 years ago, the parents of the human race, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, everything changed for the worse. Instead of the perfect conditions God had created for them, they allowed sin, misery, and death to enter the human race. For 6,000 years, every baby has inherited inbred sin and rebellion in their heart. That carnal, sinful nature is passed from parent to child, just like DNA and characteristic genes are. That sin and rebellion must be cared for if we want to be forgiven by God and go to heaven. There's no way that we can be good enough to be forgiven and earn heaven ourselves. We are hopelessly lost on our own. God had to create a plan to reconcile us to himself. God's plan included sending his son into the human race to live a perfect, sinless life and shed his perfect blood on the cross to justify us with God and pay the penalty for our sins. We could not justify ourselves to God, but God's perfect son, Jesus, could make it so we could be justified freely by the blood of the Lamb. Imagine you were arrested, had to go to court to face charges for some infraction of the law that you had committed. The day came for your trial. You were a nervous wreck. As you waited, the bailiff called one case after another. Your case never came up. You began to feel antsy. What is going on? Finally, you step up and ask the bailiff why you haven't been called yet. He checks the record and tells you, well, someone has already paid your fine. You're free to go. It's just as if you were never guilty. Justification, God's act of removing the guilt and penalty of sin while at the same time declaring a sinner righteous through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Righteousness from God is credited to the sinner's account through faith alone. Without works, there is no way we can earn it. Ephesians 2:8-9, a New King James Version says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Romans chapter 5:1-11 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. A divorce lawyer died and arrived at the pearly gates. Peter asked him, "What have you done to deserve entrance into heaven?" Well, the lawyer thought for a moment and he said, "Well, a week ago, I gave a quarter to a homeless person on the street." Peter asked Gabriel to check the record. Gabriel affirmed that this was true. Peter said, "Well, that's fine, but it's not enough to get you into heaven." The lawyer said, "Wait, wait. There's more. 3 years ago, I gave a homeless person a quarter." Peter nodded to Gabriel, who nodded back, affirming that this was verified. Peter whispered to Gabriel, "What do you suggest we should do with this fellow?" Gabriel said, let's give him back his 50 cents and tell him to go to hell. You know, many people think they can argue their way into heaven. An old lady that I worked with in Seattle, her name was Lee, she said when she died, she was going to set God straight when she came before him. She didn't like the way that he had run the world, and she had a lot better suggestions for him. You know, I doubt that she ever got the opportunity to air her complaints. When a person passes into the next life, there won't be any pride, arrogance, or arguing. It'll be a done deal. A person's eternal destiny will be sealed. That's why you need to accept Christ now, because there will not be time after death. You will not go to purgatory. You will not go to anything except the Bible says you'll go to hell and be there forever. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. We want to justify ourselves. We know what we're talking about. We're right. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done for a living. You know, it doesn't matter what it is or who it is. We want to justify our actions by being right or justify ourselves in what we're doing. But no one is righteous enough to be justified before God. Isaiah 64, 6 in the New King James Version says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. That was back in the day where there were a lot of lepers that were running around the country, you know, had to isolate themselves from society. If anybody came near them, they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. They had these big runny sores on their bodies that were deteriorating the whole body. And people sometimes felt sorry for them, and they'd put a post outside the city limits, and they would attach a blanket or a big rag or something. And the lepers would come, and they would rub their sores and get all the goop and stuff, the pus off the sores onto the blankets. And this is what he is saying here. Our righteousness is like filthy rags, or these horrible rags from the lepers rubbing their sores on there. That means it's impossible for us to get to heaven on our own merits. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When it comes to being justified before God, there's only one who's right and knows the way to justification, and that's Jesus Christ. Our text is clear about justification before God. He knows best. We play by his rules. Paul defined how we are justified. He said, we are justified through faith. We are justified by the right at the right time, and we are justified by his blood. Justified through faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jack was walking along a steep cliff and got too close to the edge and fell over. He grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and to his horror, saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. Well, now, he couldn't hang on to that branch forever, and there was no way to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. And Jack began yelling for help, hoping someone would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice say, Jack, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. I'm down here.
I see you, Jack. Are you all right?
Yes, but who are you and where are you?
I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere.
The Lord? You mean God?
Yes, that's me.
God, please help me. I promise if you will get me down, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off from there, and then we can talk. Here's what I want you to do. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. Okay, let go of the branch.
What?
I said, let go of the branch. Trust me, let go. There was a long silence, and finally Jack yelled, help, help, is anyone else up there? You know, our salvation or justification is a matter of faith. Some people say, I'm just too sinful. I don't think God can ever forgive me. Well, let go of that argument and cast yourself on God's mercy. God said he will forgive you if you call upon him. Listen, Satan can't put anything in your life so deep that the blood of Jesus Christ can't go deeper and cleanse. Have you faith in God, in God's promises? I mean, you need to have faith in God's promises. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is how we are justified before God. Salvation or justification starts and ends with faith. If you are a Christian, it was faith that made you believe that God existed. The starry universe, the beauty of creation, plants and animals, newborn babies, and so many other things made you believe in God. They all testify the fact that there's a creator and he's created such a wonderful world. Faith in God caused you to believe the Bible. Faith that the Bible is God's word led you to believe in Jesus. Your faith in Jesus caused you to trust him for salvation. Faith in God's word led you to confess your faith in Christ. And faith is what God said about sin that led you to repent of your sin, along with the conviction that the Holy Spirit was putting upon you. Faith in God's word leads you to pray and read your Bible and live a clean life, to witness, to give, and to go to church. Faith in God leads you to live for him. As you age, faith in God keeps you growing even when you don't feel like it. As you near death, it'll be faith that will cause you to trust Christ for your salvation and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Faith may cause you to pray, Lord, take me home anytime you want. It's a matter of faith that causes you to trust and obey. Then we're justified at the right time. Romans 5:6-9 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God is always just at the right time. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Sometimes we think his timing is just, very, very scary. But he's at the right time, just when we need him. Our daughter Tammy was born on March 5th, a few years back. Candy Stripers in the hospital were walking down the hall looking in the nursery, and they saw Tammy, just tiny little baby, just born, laying there. And by the way, the nursery was right next to Marty's room. And one of the Candy Stripers said, oh, look, doesn't she look like a little monkey? And they laughed. Then they came into Marty's room and said, your baby is so cute. She looks just like you. Well, when we got home from the hospital, Tammy started vomiting every time Marty tried to feed her. And she started what they later called projectile vomiting every time. It was like clockwork. You could count the seconds after feeding her that it had all forcefully come gushing out, and you had better be ready. That went on for several days every time Marty fed her. Tammy was losing weight. Now she was below her birth weight. We were frightened to death. This wasn't normal. We made an appointment with a well-respected pediatrician in Spokane, Washington, which was 100 miles away. On April 12th, we saw the doctor. He said, take your baby to the Holy Family Hospital, have tests run. It was Easter weekend. We loaded Tammy into our old 1958 Ford with its bald tires, not much gas, no money to buy gas, and a variety of mechanical issues that drove us almost nuts. We drove to the hospital. Marty hadn't packed a change of clothes. We were in such a hurry. The hospital put on our precious little Tammy in the same room with a very sick baby boy in an incubator. This little boy had tubes fastened all over his head and his chest. He had a kind of a greenish color. He was breathing, and it was very shallow. He looked like the Holocaust victims from Nazi prison camps in World War II. I asked, what was wrong with him? The nurse said, well, he has the same thing your daughter has. Talk about throwing fuel on the panic that two very young, frightened parents already felt. I then had to leave Marty with no extra clothes, no toothbrush, no money, but she was going to stay in the hospital and try to do what she could to take care of our precious little baby. As I said, it was Easter weekend, and I had to get back to my church at Grand Coulee, Washington, for Sunday services. And so I reluctantly left my young, very frightened wife and my precious baby daughter at the hospital, not knowing what was happening or how we would ever pay for it. A Nazarene pastor and his wife in Spokane, at Spokane Shadel Park Church of the Nazarene, let Marty clean up and stay at their home. On my way back to Grand Coulee, one of those bald tires had a blowout. I put an even worse-looking spare on the car and crippled back to Grand Coulee. I got home late Saturday night, and I still had to, or late Saturday afternoon that was, I still had to work on my Easter sermons and add a bulletin, and I was exhausted. I climbed through the front basement window into my office and tried to work. Now, the basement stairs in that old dilapidated house had collapsed, and the only way to get to my office was through that window. And that day, the mimeograph decided to add to my stress and kept jamming the paper. I was so frustrated that finally I just picked that stupid mimeograph up and slammed it to the floor. I shouldn't have done that, but I was so stressed. But the interesting thing is, it worked after that. Next morning, I dragged to the sunrise service early and later struggled through the morning worship service. Now, that was the Sunday that the church treasurer met me after the service and informed me there wasn't money to pay my $40 salary that week. He worked as an engineer at Grand Coulee Dam. His tithe would have taken care of most of my month's salaries and stuff like that. Anyhow, I told him, I said, well, find the money or you won't have a pastor next week. He said, well, the Apostle Paul didn't ask for money. He was willing to work for free. I said, well, he didn't have a family in the hospital in Spokane. And on the next day, on Monday, I went to a nearby service station for a well-worn tire and started back to Spokane, extremely apprehensive about my family. The doctors had done a regimen of x-rays and tests and decided that Tammy had a malfunctioning esophagus that wasn't closing to hold her food down like it was supposed to. She would eat and immediately vomit it right back up. And again, I told you before, but they called it projectile vomiting. It came out with such force. My goodness, what to do? What next? The doctor said that she might even need surgery, but we would try something else first. And so he recommended a heavy formula to force the food to stay down long enough to nourish her. Marty added cream of rice cereal to her formula to see what would happen. After feeding Tammy, Marty would hold her for a half an hour before burping her. Tammy would still expel much formula, but enough stayed down to nourish her. When Marty lifted her to her shoulder, out would come a gusher of formula. Actually, I don't know, but Marty got pretty good at aiming that projectile vomiting towards people who annoyed her. Well, I'm just kidding. Was that doctor correct in what he said or what he did? Well, apparently so, because praise God, our daughter has had many birthdays since. She's a grandma now and is able to hold her food down. I won't tell you Tammy's age, but I will say all this happened years ago and Tammy hasn't had an abdominal problem since. I'd say God led our pediatrician and the medical staff to step in at just the right time to save Tammy. At just the right time. Isn't it wonderful when someone steps in at just the right time to save us, to help us, to guide us, to protect us, to provide for us? God stepped in at just the right time in history, sending Jesus into this world to save us from our sins. Galatians 4:4-5 from the ESV says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." I like to read it this way. At just the right time, God sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. He did. God's timing is perfect. We might not always think God's timing's perfect, but looking back, we see he was working, and he stepped into our lives at just the right time. Aren't you glad God knows what time it is? Then we are justified by Christ's blood. Romans 5:9-11, "And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." Joe Kurofsky is famous as America's champion blood donor. The American Association of Blood Banks honored the 62-year-old retired security guard at a special presentation in Chicago. This was back in 2013. Mr. Kurofsky lost an arm in an accident when he was 6. And because of that, he was rejected for military service in World War II. Since then, he has donated 31 gallons of blood at that time. That's what they're saying. I don't know how much after that, but 31 gallons of blood. The human body contains 10 to 12 points of blood. So Joe had donated over 20 times that amount. And he said, "Giving blood makes you feel like you're contributing life itself. There's no more precious gift than life. Money can't buy the joy of giving blood to help someone who needs it." Kurofsky may have given more blood than most, but Jesus gave the best, and he gave his all. With his own blood, Hebrews 9:12-14, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences and sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, "In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." I would remind you that the life is in the blood, and that's why it's so precious. Why did God make the shedding of blood a law for the forgiveness of sin? I think, is an object lesson for us to understand how serious sin is. I'm thankful that Christ shed his blood for me. There aren't enough animals in the whole world, never were, never will be, for that blood, their blood, to take away our sins. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, that we can be saved. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. A Calcutta newspaper reported that a Hindu came to a missionary's house for an interview. During the conversation, a Hindu said, many things which Christianity contains are not found in Hinduism, but there's one thing Christianity has that Hinduism does not. Let me try that again. Many things which Christianity contains are found in Hinduism, but there's one thing Christianity has that Hinduism has not. What's that? The missionary asked. The Hindu replied, a savior. God, thank God, he sent Jesus to save us by his blood, by his perfect sacrifice on the cross. A man in England put his Rolls Royce on a boat, went across to the continent to go on a vacation trip. While he was driving around Europe, something happened to the motor. He called the Rolls Royce people back in England and said, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? The Rolls Royce people flew a mechanic over, and the mechanic repaired the car and flew back to England, and the man continued his vacation. After a while, the fellow wondered, I wonder how much this is going to cost. When he got back to England, he wrote a letter asking how much he owed Rolls Royce. He received a letter from the office that read, Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. This is what we have in Christ. It's as if there was never anything wrong with us. It's called justification. It's called salvation. You can be justified freely by the blood of the Lamb because Jesus took your place and shed his blood to justify you so you would not have to pay your wages of sin. Why don't you ask him to save you while there is still time? Dear Father, I would pray that you'll take this message and use it for your honor and glory. Speak to those, Lord, that are walking behind light or that maybe have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Let them know that this is the day they need to repent and ask you to forgive them of their sins, that they need to allow you to justify them in the sight of God. I would ask Jesus that each one would find you and make their hearts ready to serve God and to spend eternity in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to get a hold of me, again, you can call me at 623-845-2741. Talk to me, or you can text me at that number, and I'll be glad to do whatever I can to help. Or you can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, H6029. I hope that you're getting your heart ready for Easter, that you're praising God for the wonderful plan of salvation that he put together so that you and I could have fellowship with God and be adopted into his family. God bless you. Talk to you later. And let me know if I can help.